This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
if you had to lose one item into the fire, what would you rather be, a hot dog or a marshmallow? 80% of people saying they couldn't bear to lose the hot dog.
How about that?
But when a marshmallow's burning, it's on fire, man, that's just a horrible feeling, too.
Right. I know.
And you can't touch it.
And you're looking around, and everybody's occupied with their own thing, and you're like, help me, somebody pull it out.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Thank you, Rick Regan. Good morning, Canada, and to Canadian sports fans around the globe. Welcome to the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show taking flight. It is episode number 366. RP here, DD there, and we're nicely into a new week. How you doing this morning, sir?
I'm well.
That's
I'm
good?
Well. Yeah, things are good.
The Caliber coffee is tasting fantastic. Ooh, today.
Really good.
Did you pay attention to the flavor that you put in the
Fireside blend.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Warm and cozy.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good point, because we're in the warm-up here in the opening segment, the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons Sports Palace, your home for the NFL. Saskatchewan's original sports bar. Coming up on the show today, two longtime friends of ours from competing networks. TSN's Rod Black's going to be with us in hour one, and he's tweeted that he's very much looking forward to the interview. I don't know if we saw that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk some Raptors with him, because I have some thoughts. And, of course, CFL. It was a real punch to the gut for a lot of people in Canada with no Grey Cup this weekend, but it particularly seemed like a gut punch to Blackie. He was tweeting about it all weekend.
I know.
He was lost.
I know.
And then Sportsnet's Jamie Campbell joining us to chat Blue Jays and whatever else comes up. He is a huge CFL fan, Jamie Campbell. But I said I had a line for you that's going to make you laugh. And I was just thinking about this when I unzipped my knapsack that I, you know, used to carry a briefcase everywhere. Now I carry a backpack. It's a really good one. I reached in there for my nuts, and I realized I'd left them on the kitchen table.
Oh, no. Literally, they were on the table.
I left my nuts on the table. Reminds me of a friend of mine who's got a toupee. He said he spent a half an hour combing his hair, brushing his hair, and then left it on the bedpost. Same thing. Because, you know, I eat pecans and almonds and peanuts every day.
Yeah.
It's actually been very effective in health and weight loss. And I went and left my nuts on the table.
Perfect.
Where's the t-shirt?
Exactly.
Anyways, those are the guests, Rod Black and Jamie Campbell. And let's get into the quick six show topics, please. Hey, I see IKS Media and Technology is awake. They're writing from one of the floors down. Good morning, IKS. Don McNeil checking in from Central Ontario. Donald Mitchell is out in Bahrain. Was it Bahrain? Bahrain, Southern Tennessee. Oh, they're checking in from all over the continent this morning. Again, thanks. Hope you're ready to have some fun today. We're going to fly through the points and then come back and spend some more time on each one. Number one, Monday Night Football, Rams over the Buccaneers, 27-24. We all thought that Tom had one more game-winning drive in him. No. Kind of an anticlimactic finish. Point two, in the SJ Monday, the Humboldt Broncos beat the Notre Dame Hounds 4-1. It was the only game in the league. The Flin Flon Bombers have suspended operations indefinitely. Did you see that?
I did.
And the OJHL, the Greater Toronto League of the Ontario Junior A, they plan on resuming play on January 1st. So we'll come back on all of these. Point three, Darren Pang has predicted a January 15th start date for the NHL. It was on yesterday's show. He gave the reasons why. If we got to wait a couple more weeks to start the NHL than the January 1st, I think we'd all take it if they were willing to guarantee they're playing, which they are. Point four, some NFL notes. Joe Burrow is out for a potential of 9 months. I don't know what they did before MRIs. I have no idea what they did before MRIs.
I know.
Because they thought it was one torn knee ligament. He goes on to the MRI. He's torn them all, plus his meniscus.
I know.
And everything. I completely blew his knee up.
Way worse than they thought.
The Bengals coach, Zach Taylor, looks incredibly concerned.
I don't know what... You say what they did before MRIs, like doctors must have been really good at, like a, you know, like a chef does on the steak. Yeah, that's medium well, you know.
I know.
Like, how do they diagnose?
How did they do it? Maybe somebody that's watching this, an athletic therapist, could tell me how they did it. Then they're saying the door's wide open for the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East. That's my team. I'd prefer that they didn't. If you're not in it to win it all, forget it. What does Ricky Bobby say?
Not first, you're last.
The guy's one of the greatest philosophers of all time, Ricky Bobby. If you're not first, you're last. There should be statues of him. So forget about winning the division. If you're only and you're going to host a game, who cares? If you're not in it to win the Super Bowl, forget it. Ryan Ballantyne checking in, chief punk and blogger for the Calgary Stampeders, says, morning, Rod. Hashtag nuts on the table. I forgot my nuts on the table. I left the house. Faye Lather checks in from Truro, Nova Scotia. She says, hi, Rod. I think your shows are awesome. Big fan. It was such a surprise to see Brett on the big screen. Keep up the good work. From Faye Lowther in Truro, Nova Scotia. It's a wonderful part of the world. Faye, thank you for Brett. We're quite fond of him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
Point five, the MLS playoffs for the Toronto FC open tonight. They're playing Nashville. The question is, will you be watching? It's to you. Be honest.
Probably not.
I probably, if it was the only thing on television, I'd probably watch it. If you remember, I think MLS was the first sport back, and they don't qualify as a major sport, but they were the first pro sport back, I think, this summer, because I was watching the games in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, for the North American sports, I think they were. And you know what? I got swept up a little bit when Toronto FC went on and they won their title and, you know, might get back into it. It's just not my thing, unfortunately. It's not. I know it is for a lot of people.
Jeff Kozak, one of our viewers, says regarding what they did before MRI, he said they would just go in and see the damage. I play a doctor on TV, says Jeff. I still think they're feeling it. I'm sure they were. This is far more.
Does this hurt?
Yeah, but yeah. How many fingers? It's my leg, dummy.
That's how they would diagnose a concussion.
I know. Reminds me of a time in Mexico when one of my friends got ran over in the street by a bike. It's a long story. It was in Cozumel, Mexico. It was a fun day. Point six. Any CFL notes? I got one. Jackson Jeffcoat this morning, the star Winnipeg Blue Bomber defensive end and one of the greatest Texas Longhorns in school history, tweeting at us this morning saying he wants to know how and if the CFL will come back in 2021. And I'm not going to spend a great deal of time with this because, you know, the CFL, I think, wants to go dark for a while and we'll let him. But it got me to thinking, yeah, we'd all like to know. And from a player's perspective, they do want to know how. Is the onus on the CFL to tell people how they're doing it? I would hope they're looking at it. For instance, I have no idea how the Western Hockey League is going to come back, and they're a little over a month away. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think the CFL, they enjoy major exposure. I've said it many times. Nobody's asking these questions about the National Lacrosse League. Nobody. I'd like to know. The players don't even say anything in the NLL.
No. They all got jobs.
They all got second jobs.
Tell me if the weekend league is ready to go. That's just where it is. But they're pretty happy. But it's all about reality versus expectations, right? In the NLL, the expectations, hey, we shut the season down. We're planning to go next year. So nobody asks. Nobody's worried. They're just, you know, trusting that if they're going to play, they're going to have plenty of notice. And if they're not, they won't. But in the CFL, I would hope that at least there's communication. I would hope that Saul and the PA, that they know a little bit about what's being done and can communicate it.
I don't think they do.
But if there's that big gap there, they should be working together.
So I'm not going to go too far or too deep on that. I'm just going to point out what Jackson Jeffcoat said. I thought it was an interesting point. Donald Mitchell, watching in the Middle East today, says, I'd rather support the Canadian Premier League than MLS. Canada all the way! Hey, I'm a patriot too, but you got the Vancouver Whitecaps, you got the Toronto FC, you got the Montreal Impact. They're all in MLS. Why has it got to be one or the other all the time? Colin McNulty in Ottawa says, good point about MLS not being a major pro sports league. Yet I never hear any of the soccer fans saying they won't ever watch it, unlike Canadian NFL-only fans. Oh, and Ryan Ballantyne, who I know is a huge Calgary Roughnecks fan, says NLL is restarting in April and has said they will have fans in jurisdictions they could, that they can have fans. Yeah, I know, Ryan. We had the commissioner on, Nick Sakevich, a while back. It's that April, what was it, 9th to 11th weekend. They're planned to start. But we don't know all the details, I guess. And my point is the CFL's not putting out any details of the return other than to say we're playing, sign up for season tickets. And my thing is, don't ask for my money until you tell me how you're going to do it. It's a real juxtaposition here right now. That's all. Anyways, to go back to the points, number one, Tom Brady with the loss last night for the Buccaneers, 27-24, Monday Night Football. What's Tom? 1-2, I think, this year in primetime. Everybody's jumping and piling on him. He's used to that by now. My take is, with all due respect to the Buccaneers fans, who was Chris Godwin before this year? Who was Rojo before this year? Who was Mike Evans before this year, really? Like, Tom's making them household names. The team's 7-4. They do have a chance to win the division, and they're not the Dallas Cowboys. If the Buccaneers win the division and host a playoff game, that's a huge win. There were some predicting them to be in the Super Bowl and represent the NFC this year.
Oh, yeah.
And Gronk, by the way, was invisible last night. So I will say Tom Brady didn't have his best game. None of them really did, and I think Bruce Arians can can look in the mirror, too. Everybody's pointing the finger at Tom, but you know what? That's why quarterbacks get all the money.
That's why they get all the money. It's, you call it danger pay, too, right? I mean, you got to take all the heat. But that's one of the issues that's happened with Tom is just when he plays against those elite defenses and he's under pressure, then he hasn't dealt with it all that well so far this year. And a couple of picks last night, you know, that's a really good defense. Aaron Donald on that defensive line. It's a really good group. They got a good secondary in L.A. So it's tough. He's going to have to learn to adjust that. But part of that is guys around him have to start playing better. The O-line's got to protect him a little bit more. And they'll get there. But, yeah, it's still a good football team. But they're just, you know, a half a step behind in terms of, you know, can they deal with those really tough, in-your-face, physical defenses. They're not going to get that out of Seattle. They're not going to get that out of Green Bay. Right, those two teams that are up in that upper class, they don't have the defenses that LA has got or that New Orleans has. So if they can get in and get the right matchup, Tampa's still a contender.
Absolutely they are. Now, from our viewers, Stacey Champagne says Brady just can't complete a deep ball. He's got the worst completion percentage in the National Football League for passes over 20 yards. Last night he was 0 for 6, I think. So why is that? That's not really Tom. He's been a very good downfield passer his entire career. Something's going on is all.
Yeah. And don't look now, but Antonio Brown's his new number one target. 8 receptions last night to lead the entire team. Evans is good. Godwin's good. The team's deep, but now you got AB. Tom likes AB. Once they get into more of a rhythm, maybe they'll be able to stretch the field.
Gary in Winnipeg says, I guess those evening practice sessions didn't work. Because Bruce Arians had the Buccaneers practicing at night all week to get ready for that Sunday or Monday night game. Well, as they say, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And then you got to adjust on the fly.
Now what?
A very fun poll question today, I think, ladies and gentlemen, for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Because I've used three monikers for where we broadcast out of from the bunker here. The poll question, I'd like your take. The RP Show bunker is situated in A, the NHL's Bermuda Triangle, B, the heartland of the CFL, C, the sweatpants capital, or D, other. What's it saying on Facebook, dude?
The heartland of the CFL, almost 50%, and then the sweatpants capital's number two.
The sweatpants capital of North America on Twitter. 60% are saying the heartland of the Canadian Football League. 19% say the sweatpants capital. 17% say the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL. And 4% say other. For me, it's all those things.
Right? Yeah.
But if you had to pick one, what would it be?
Depends on the season.
And we had a little discussion after the show yesterday, and I said, how much time are we going to dedicate to the Canadian Football League? Because A, apparently we are the heartland of the CFL, which we always knew, but I got a lot of hockey guys that say, when you're talking football, I turn it off. So what you said was, when something comes up, let's talk about it. We don't need to plan for it.
Right.
When something comes up, let's talk about it. That's kind of how this show has rolled since day one, 366 episodes ago. So speaking of that, I mentioned Humboldt beating Notre Dame last night 4-1. Look, the Humboldt Broncos are now an international brand, and we all know why. There was only one game in the SJ last night, and they beat the Hounds 4-1. And it's Humboldt up here, and then everybody else in that league in the power rankings. And don't get me started on the, oh, they're the darlings of the league. That's what people are saying, right? And they got all the money. Stop it. Last year, they were the youngest team in the league, if not the youngest, one of the youngest. And they got swept in the first round. We called their last game of the regular season, right?
That's right.
On Sastel Max TV. So obviously, I'm pulling for the Humboldt Broncos. They have a special place in my heart. And we're following Junior A because I would rather sit and talk about the leagues that put their balls on the table and have come out to play than sit and talk about the leagues that don't know how they're going to play. Fair? Yeah. And for more Junior A news, the Flin Flon Bombers announcing that they have suspended operations indefinitely until they figure out what the hell's going on with Manitoba COVID restrictions. Now, I didn't report that the Bombers were moving to Creighton, Saskatchewan. Watch out, Noogsy, because you're going right under the bus. Noogsy reported it in a column on my website, rodpeterson.com. Jamie Neugebauer is the voice of the Notre Dame Hounds. He reported it. I blew it up. And then, yeah, the Bombers got in some trouble from Manitoba government officials for trying to skirt the rules. Well, they say, you ain't cheating if you ain't trying. They're just trying to play hockey, for God's sakes. What's the COVID numbers in Flin Flon? Peanut Butter Pete's watching in Estevan, my good friend from Willie's Tap House. He says, the Bruins took 3 of 4 points against Humboldt. Just saying. Beauty goal from Cole Fonstad, too, by the way. PA Raider. And who had, was he, was that with Everett? He's a WHL lone guy.
Yeah.
So, hey, there's some excitement in the SJ. People are watching the games, whether they're... I love this. The Weyburn Red Wings, which I've always kind of considered my hometown team, they're having an auction for the tickets.
Unbelievable.
To get in. Smart!
That's pretty
creative. Good old prairie ingenuity right there. Forget about the 150. They're only selling 150 tickets per game, but they're auctioning it off, online auction, and I think they're making big bank. So good. That's being creative.
It is. I mean, at least it gives you something. Even if you don't make any extra money, or even if you only make a few extra bucks on your tickets, it's still a creative way to get fans involved and have some fun with it. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. So, and come on, CFL, let's find a way, because I'm quite fond of the way these other leagues are doing it. So anyways, those are some of the topics. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Rod Black is on the way, and Jamie Campbell, too. We'll step back a minute. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Sud's full-service car wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is time. Hang on. We got breaking news today. The reason I'm on my laptop is because I'm trying to find it on the Canadian Press Wire. Where did it go? Yeesh. Notification came down from TSN, and now I've lost it. Anyways, today's World Junior Inter-Squad game has been postponed. Did you get that notification?
Not yet, no.
Two members of Team Canada have tested positive for coronavirus.
Well,
yeesh.
Well, you got the long camp, I guess. Let you know,
get it out of the way.
Dance around some of these issues. I think that's not a bad thing to have. They're getting ready to play the Golden Bears, U of A, and Mount Royal, U Sports, Canada West teams. And that's incredibly exciting for those programs. And I know it was the All-Stars, and we've had, you know, guys from Saskatchewan go out and play in those games against the juniors. The Bears have done it a lot because they're there for camp, right? In the vicinity, the Dinos have gone. Now Mount Royal gets the opportunity. So that part's really cool. And it shows you how good the university game is, because quite often they beat Team Canada. They're older. They should beat them. They're older, and it's the, you know, the best players from the Western League and the Canadian Hockey League that go play university hockey. You know, the 1% go to the NHL, but then that next group of the top guys go play university hockey. It's really good.
I found it from TSN.ca, Canada's sports leader. Two players have tested positive for COVID-19 at Team Canada's World Junior Selection Camp in Red Deer. Hockey Canada announced this morning. As a result, the third and final red and white intra-squad game scheduled for noon Eastern today has been postponed. Scott Salmon, the senior VP of national team, said in a release, Hockey Canada confirmed earlier today that two players at Canada's national junior team sport check selection camp have tested positive and have been placed in quarantine at the team hotel in Red Deer. Upon learning of the positive test this morning, the decision was made to postpone the red and white game scheduled for this morning at the Westerner Park Centrium and to suspend all camp activities for today. I just can't imagine what it's like living in those guys' shoes with any sports league, by the way, but let's just say the World Junior team. So you send them all back to the hotel and do what? Go for a swim?
Wait.
Go for a run? Yeah, you can't leave your room.
Wait. You know,
I hope they're getting Game Plus in their rooms.
Yeah, I hope they do too. They watch shows like this. Get the Xbox.
35% of Alberta has Telus Optik TV as their cable carrier, which means they get this show.
Yeah, get the Xbox fired up.
Yeah,
do those types of things. And wait, you know, this is a privilege to play for Team Canada. It's a big deal. And unfortunately, in the year we have now, you're going to have to, you know, deal with some different things. And this is one of them, but I like that. Just, hey, we have a little bit of a potential red flag here. I'll shut it down for a day. Just go chill. We'll come back tomorrow. No big deal. Rather than, you know, try and push it through and potentially make it worse, they're being smart, and they've got the time to do that, so I like it.
Clark tells me that Rod Black has connected. He's just getting settled and getting ready to go. The Prairie Mobile text line is on, 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. Here's one from yesterday. Brady in Saskatoon writes in and says, what's more likely to happen, Steelers undefeated or Jets winless? The Jets going 0-16. The whopping majority of people said that, right?
Yeah.
Regarding the Grey Cup, the Hunter brothers were amazing. Was surprised that the CFL Sim game went to overtime. He says, I started a new job as a rink supervisor here in Saskatoon. That's from Brady. So way to go, Brady.
Cool.
I'm very proud of you. Okay, let's do it. We got to talk Grey Cup, CFL, Raptors with TSN's Rod Black, who it's been far too long since we joined him today. There he is. He's at home today, wigless. How you doing, Blackie?
I got rid of that a while ago. It's snowing here, as you can tell.
How late were people golfing? Because we had Rick Vive on last week, and he said he was headed out for his final round. It seems like this winter just came, whang, in like a lion.
They golfed until Sunday. Then we got snow, and guess what? It's going to melt. They'll golf this weekend. If courses stay open here, Rod, they're going to probably play golf right up until Christmas here if the weather stays. Again, it's crazy. I mean, we got, you know, I got a foot or so back there, and it's supposed to melt in the next couple of days, so it's That's been that not, kind of year, but hey, it's the best thing we can do is golf. Golf is better than nothing right now.
Well, that's not a normal year, right?
No. But I also think people probably, like, people normally wouldn't play golf, you know, in like 3 degrees. Like, I went out about 5 days ago and it was cold. But once you see, if you walk and you're not in a cart, you know, you stay warm, and you normally would probably never play in 3 degrees. But I think this year, everybody just, we got nothing better to do, so let's play golf.
No kidding. And you were tweeting a lot about the absence of a Grey Cup this weekend. You put the broken heart emoji on your post there. Were you as affected as it seemed with no Grey Cup this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. You know, like, everybody, how many Grey Cups have you been to? I've been to so many, and I just, whether I was working them or not, I remember going as a fan, you know, way back when, and I just love the weekend. I think it's spectacular. I love the week. You know, today we'd probably just be recovering from the Grey Cup hangover, you know, at the time. So, you know, beyond the obvious, the party and everything else, it's always a great game. And, you know, I just think, I know we chatted in the summer, and I was pretty optimistic that, you know, the CFL actually would play. I know the virus has been as infectious probably now more than ever before. You know, had they gone into the bubble in Winnipeg, you know, they would have gone in with the least infectious area in Canada, and they would have come out with one of the most infectious areas right now. So it was probably a better thing that they didn't, but I still think a lot of people missed it. And I still think that the CFL might have missed out a little bit because they were out of sight and out of mind.
There's no doubt. But Winnipeg has come alive this morning from Corey. Morning, guys. Hey, Rod Black, I'm watching from down the street from your childhood home in Transcona. From Gary Lincoln, looking good, Rod. Memories from home, Transcona with the snow. From John Ohm. I got to get this. Plus five Wednesday in Winnipeg, Rod. Let's go to Pine Ridge Golf Course and golf. Man, Winnipeg's never far from your heart, is it? Or vice versa.
Prairie's hard. I mean, I've lived out here, I guess, for 30 years now, half my life, but I still miss home. I mean, there's nothing like being from the prairies in the West. I still miss going to Saskatchewan. I played a lot of sports out there at the time where there was hockey, a lot of baseball. You know, as I was later, we went and played a number of teams, the Regina Red Sox. I remember playing against them at one time. I played in Manitoba. So, you know, I miss a lot of that. I miss the summers. I really miss the summers. And I honestly miss the chance to get out to see my dad. He's in a home in Winnipeg this year. And, you know, unfortunately with the quarantine and everything, I was hoping that we would be doing CFL games and I get a chance to see him. But there's nothing like home. Home is where your heart is. And my heart's always been there for sure.
It's awesome. Nelson Hakowicz, our VP of Sim Events, writes in and he says, play by play for anything that moves. What is the craziest sport Rod has called? You're very diversified in your talents, Rod. You know that. What's the wildest sport or event that you've called?
Well, again, no sport is wild, right? Because they're all legit, I guess. Everything goes to the Olympics. I mean, they had ballroom dancing at the Olympics. But I have done, I wanted to say I did hurling, but I never did hurling. I mean, I did an Australian rules football match for CTV way back when. Remember, we had Wide World of Sports. And so I never went to Australia. We did a lot of that like we do now. We broadcast a lot of things. Right back then, we broadcast them from studio. And so it appeared, and people are going, oh, you were in Australia last week, or even some skating events. Truth be known, we were never there. I also did a lawn bowling event. I did that for sure. But the craziest one was back in my CKY days back in Winnipeg. I don't even know if it was a sporting event. They had a place there just outside of my area where I grew up, Transcona. It's called Fun Mountain. And CKY had a promotion. They had the Fun Mountain Games. And so it was an event on a water slide. I think there was water slides. There was a water balloon toss, a water balloon dodgeball. So, yes, that probably, I would have to say, might have been the craziest. I've done board. I've actually broadcast a Scrabble event, but again, it was for promotion. It wasn't on network television. Having said that, you're like me. I mean, if it moves, I'd like to be broadcasting. And people always ask me, what's your favorite sport? All of them. I love them all. I'd rather be doing a sport right now than shoveling snow.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, for me, it was rock, paper, scissors at St. Jerome Elementary School play-by-play a few years ago. And that was here in Regina. It was awesome. And by the way, if you have a chance, I don't know if you're a Netflix fan or not, but watch The Queen's Gambit where they do radio play-by. What'd you think of that?
Loved it. And you know what? What I love is that, you know, kids are so into computers now. Everybody's into computers and e-sport games. And yeah, you can play chess, but I thought that was fabulous. And it really gives chess. In fact, there have been a couple of shows now that I've watched where chess is kind of making a comeback. And maybe I'm really, really dating myself, but I go back to, you know, the 70s on ABC Wide World of Sports. I mean, the biggest thing then was Boris Spassky against Bobby Fischer, you know, United States against Russia in the Cold War, I guess Soviet Union at the time. It was around the Summit Series. And the biggest thing was the biggest chess match in the world. And people, if you watch The Queen's Gambit, I don't want to give it away. I think you might want to pick up the game of chess because it's fascinating.
It made me want to, but I think I'm maybe too old of a dog to do that. But Bobby Fischer was the Wayne Gretzky of chess. Yep. And I'm watching
played
that
against
show.
Computer once too, and I think he beat the computer, right? Wasn't a computer something called Blue or something?
And I'm looking at it going, what a sport that lends itself tremendously to radio play-by-play if you know the game. You got to watch it. It's really good.
Yeah, that was a part I will give that. The fascination for me was watching them broadcast in a variety of countries this chess match. But I thought it was a terrific show. I've loved, I'm kind of running out of Netflix stuff right now. I will tell you a couple of other ones that I've watched that are documentary oriented. I love Last Chance U. Did you watch Last Chance U?
Very good.
Oh, I love it. Love it. And QB1, any sports documentary, doesn't matter. The one about Sunderland I heard is a really good one. I want to watch that. So yeah, there've been some great ones. And I've really loved Crave. I think it's on Crave, is Succession. Not a sports one, but really, really good. That's my recommendation.
DuPont's nodding his head that you're in on that. Last Chance.
You like Succession?
Oh, yeah.
Cannot wait for the next season.
I know. It's good. You got to get on this one, Rod. You'd love it.
I got to get crazy.
Rod, you would love it. You would love it. I don't know the actor's name. He won an Emmy for it. He's phenomenal. And, I can't. The old guy in the show. But, I mean, basically, it's a show about, I think, ostensibly the Murdoch family. And so it's a media empire.
Ooh.
But there's a lot of layers to it. It's fabulous.
Darren's been telling me a lot about it.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, Last Chance U, that coach Jason Brown reminds me of every football coach I've ever dealt with. And you know what I'm talking about. Just high stress. Anyways,
Wally Buono, Chris Jones, Leo Cahill, Don Matthews. You go through all the list of all those guys and some of the manipulators as well.
And he's not acting. That's the amazing thing.
Acting.
Yeah. Leo Ezra.
Didn't he get arrested or something like that?
Yeah.
In California?
For assault. We don't talk about that. I'm not sure he has that in his book or not that he's got on sale right now, but Leo Ezrins is watching in Hamilton. You know, Leo, another Winnipegger.
Leo Ezrins.
He says, how about the Bomber / media hockey team playing games throughout Manitoba? What went on the road, stayed on the road, especially in Dauphin? That's from Leo.
Yeah, well, we had a blast because back in the 80s, it was so different covering sports. And, you know, you kind of, I won't say you carve friendships, but you did carve friendships. Some of my best friends now are guys like Leo and Willard Reeves and those guys who played because you just grew close to them. And we had this media hockey team that traveled the province. The Rough Riders, I think, had something similar. It was broomball at first. Anyway, we went up to Dauphin, Manitoba. And Chris Walby, it was his first game back there, I believe, since he was actually suspended for a fight. But imagine playing with Chris Walby, 6'10" or whatever he is, gargantuan. Any guy can play. And Leo would play. I was the centerman on the All Black line, which was me, Frank Robinson, and Willard Reeves. And those guys couldn't skate. And years later, you know, who would have thought that, you know, the Reeves boys, Jordan would become a professional football player. And Ryan, who I remember the day he started skating in Kildonan Park, I believe it was in Winnipeg, would become an NHL hockey player and an impactful one. But yeah, I love those days. I mean, I'm sure, Rod, you've gone and you travel with the team. And, you know, again, you want to remain like here because someday you might have to, you know, criticize them or, you know, objectively adjudicate their performance. The good guys understood that. And I will tell you, during that era, there were so many good guys. And Leo Ezrins is one of them, that's for sure.
The two best parts were, one, the local teams thought they were going to kick our ass, and we usually won. And two, the supper they'd put on afterwards in the rink.
Yeah. My gosh.
Unbelievable.
See, you know what I miss? You know what you just said, and I miss it out here? People out here don't say supper. they don't say supper, and I say it, and they go, look at me, what's a supper? And they, you know, they don't have socials out here. You know, in Manitoba, we had socials, you know, and you had those suppers, like you said. We used to always play against RCMP teams. I'm sure you probably did too. And, you know, there were a couple of times, I'm not going to mention any names, but my former boss, sports director Peter Young, got in a bit of a brawl, and I think he had his noodle broken by somebody during one of those games. But who do you call? And like, why would this happen in the first place? But I think I do remember Bob Cameron, the Bomber punter who came to his rescue. Stuff that went on those. I remember going to Dauphin. Leo's Baba Doherty and Chris Walby took all of my furniture in the middle of a snowstorm. It was minus 30 in Dauphin, and put it out and arranged my room in the parking lot. Imagine my horror when I came out. I'm coming back. Of course, it was a late night after one of those socials and suppers. And Bluto goes, guess that's where you're sleeping tonight. Right in the middle of the parking lot. They arranged it. They had everything. It was classic, man. Classic.
Would you mind staying through a break?
Oh, of course. I got a okay. buddy.
Okay.
Let me just see what else I got to do. Okay, hang on. Okay.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, on the Saskatchewan, those hockey games, two words, Bob Poley. Well, no, you can put Rod back. I want to see Rod's reaction. He skated past the opposition bench like that scene from Slapshot with a stick on the guy's helmets. Tunk, 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 like that. What are you going to do to Bob Poley if you're them, right? Anyways, we'll be right back with Rod Black. It's the RP Show. Yeah, you watch it on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Rod Black with us. Next hour, Jamie Campbell. Let's go back out on the video chat now and bring in TSN's Rod Black. Just to get serious for a second, Blackie, if you don't mind, with the Raptors in free agency, what I'm sensing from your area is people are pretty upset with who they've lost and who they've signed, and that maybe the window's closing on the dynasty here. Your thoughts, if you don't mind.
Well, I'll go back about a year and a half ago, or you know, maybe a little bit longer, when people were kind of freaking out when they lost DeMar DeRozan. You know, so I'm not saying this is Kawhi Leonard coming. Certainly, Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol were huge parts of that championship run, but I'm going to keep one eye open on this one, just because Aaron Baines is a quality center, can shoot the three ball, and is tough as nails. Alex Len is a Ukrainian center. A lot of people don't know about him. He's going to be part of this rotation at five at the center position, who once was drafted number five. And, you know, the word bust has come around with him, but his numbers are pretty good. So, you know, I'm going to reserve judgment on him. This allows Chris Boucher, I think, a chance to really step up, and people like what they saw from Boucher. Yeah, you're missing Serge Ibaka. Yes, you're missing Marc Gasol, but you were able to keep Fred VanVleet. I think they're going to still go out and get a couple of shooters. And here's the good news. Maybe it is a bridge season, Rod, in many ways. They're getting a chance to look ahead to 2021-22, I guess that's, I'm trying to go through my years now, when, you know, the big prize out there could be, because they're going to wait and see, is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, you know, with his relationship with Masai Ujiri, it might just be worth what they're doing right now and being able to get one of the premier players, if not the best player in the NBA. So I understand why people are freaking out. Everybody wants to keep championships together. Hey, you remember back in 2013, I'm sure the same thing with the Rough Riders or any championship. Guess what? You've got it. You got to keep your nucleus, and then you got to formulate parts around them. Do I think the Raptors got better? No, I do not think they got better. Do I think they've got a little bit worse? I'm not sure on that. I still think they're slotted probably where they were slotted, should have been slotted in the bubble, probably around between 3 and 6. So they have Kyle Lowry still. They've got Fred VanVleet. And here's the key. The key for this team is Pascal Siakam has to play a whole lot better than he did in the bubble. They're paying him a lot of money. He's supposed to be the next one, the next superstar in the game. He is an all-star. He's got to become a superstar. We're seeing it in OG Anunoby. So they've lost quite a bit. But keep in mind also is that Serge and Marc Gasol have also struggled. Marc Gasol struggled mightily in the bubble. And Marc Gasol has had his issues, and he's 35. They're almost 36 years old. And Serge is getting older, too. You just got to move on. So yeah, I understand why people are freaking out. But wait and see.
Sometimes it's good to be reminded of these things, because after championship two, when you brought up 2013, guys want to get paid.
Right. Man gets paid.
And Fred VanVleet got paid. Not everybody's going to get paid. So you can't keep everybody together. It's mathematically impossible. And to the Tampa Bay Raptors idea, how's that going over?
Well, it's, you know, again, it's better than nothing. And you know, you can't move the NBA, all the teams north of the border. Unfortunately, the Raptors are an outlier. And so with the government restricting the border until this all changes until we probably have a vaccine. I want a vaccine for Christmas. I don't know about you, but I want something to change. Until all of that changes, you know, they're going to have to play. So I, you know, it was going to be Nashville, Kansas City, perhaps. I think they were talking Buffalo. They're talking Fort Lauderdale, and they're talking Tampa. Tampa, people have always said, you know, why Tampa? You're in COVID Central, which they are. But trust me, these players are going to be heavily monitored. One of the reasons is facility, a good facility, which is available. Probably travel within the area was another thing. Here's another one, taxes. Zero taxes in Florida. So I think the players probably like that a lot because you still have to pay your taxes for where you play. Do I see them coming back to Toronto to finish the season based on what we're going through right now? No. Probably going to have to play the entire season, whatever season this is down there. But if things do, you know, lighten up a little bit in terms of cases and caseloads, maybe we will see them back up in Toronto. I know one thing that, you know, this that arena downtown Toronto is going to be awfully quiet this year.
Oh, unbelievable. And with Tampa, you'd kind of have to have been there. And I assume you have. All those beautiful hotels are right across the street from the rink. They're not going to be out sightseeing, let's put it that way. And, right?
Kyle Lowry loves to golf. Nick Nurse loves to golf. So I had a chance to play with Nick a couple of times this summer, and I love Nick Nurse. And I hate name dropping. I don't want to name drop. You know, I said that to Justin Trudeau this morning. I said, I hate name dropping.
Watch your toes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, bada boom, bada bing. But, you know, Nick was saying that he played in the bubble. He played almost every single day, and he went from like a 15 handicap down to an 8. So, yeah, you know, I think that's warm weather has a lot to do with it. But it's going to be interesting. You know, December 22nd is going to be – I feel bad for the teams that, you know, were shut down in March. Those guys got a lot of work to do to get back to those teams that finished off in, you know, whenever that was, like August and September.
Absolutely. Rod Black, this is a lot. You are the best. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time, as always.
Hey, where's my caps?
Next, we're waiting for an in-person
cap going.
In-person handoff. Well, maybe you can give your address to Clark.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Where's my Rod Peterson Speedo?
You got everything. We'll send you a mask, a Speedo. You can be used for both.
Both, exactly. Wear your mask, everybody.
All
stay
right.
safe.
Thanks,
happy
Rod.
Thanksgiving to all of our American viewers or listeners. Happy holidays. Hope to talk to you before then.
Thank you, Blackie. Absolutely. He might be interested to know that 1/3 of our viewers are American. Figure that one out.
I know, right?
I have yet to figure why that is.
Well,
but 1/3 of our viewers are in America.
Yeah, well, there's a whole chunk of our viewership that's in Winnipeg. Figure that out. And another viewership in Calgary.
I know.
Like, I thought those were like force fields.
Yeah, I know. Saskatchewan, you got to pick it up. A sports update before we break. Jared Goff threw for 376 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Matt Gay kicked a 40-yard field goal with 2:36 to go to give the LA Rams a 27-24 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. The Raptors shored up their front court by signing 27-year-old Ukrainian center Alex Len to a 1-year deal. The 7-footer averaged 8 points and 4.8 rebounds with Atlanta and Sacramento last season. No relation to Rough Riders athletic therapist Trevor Len, I don't think. Former Canadian national team player Javon Shepherd was named general manager of the Canadian Elite Basketball League's Ottawa Blackjacks. Shepherd takes over for Dave Smart, who became GM after retiring as head coach of the powerhouse Carlton Ravens. And it is breaking news this morning. Today's World Junior Exhibition intra-squad game in Red Deer has been postponed. 2 members of Team Canada have tested positive for COVID-19. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room, home of the Great Western Slow Pitch League tonight. Win and you're in for us with slow pitch, right?
Do we got to win them both?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
all right.
Ballers,
I'll be ready.
They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. We'll be back with Viewer Takeover right after this. It's the RP Show. Game Plus, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the show. A nice little carryover here. Viewer Takeover, so let's get into it. Joe Lazzito. I say that like Lynch says it. Watching from Long Island says one third of your viewers are from America because you're a massive upgrade over our regional options. I don't know about that. I'm just pointing out the numbers. Donna Berger says, chilling and so nice to watch the show. Worked 3 12-hour shifts and woke up thinking it was Saturday. Ugh. LOL. I love it. They put us on because they need a brainless option and they don't want to think. All the guys started laughing back here.
Are we brainless?
Yes.
Yes.
You know we are. I know. Don't ask questions to, you know the answers to?
Don't.
Armando Moreno, at least one of your viewers is Mexican. That's you. I feel like we need to take this show on the road to Mexico. What do you say?
Please.
Mi esposa, e dinero.
Please and thank you.
You know what that means?
My wife has the money.
Yes, I learned that. Me say it. Mi esposa, e dinero. My wife has the money.
I'm catching on. You got three lines that you just rotate.
They work.
Exactly.
Trent Bruner, Norway calling. Great interview with Rod Black. Regarding chess, it's on Norwegian national television, both sports channels and main networks. As for the outdoor room, where's the fish hut? Is that what it's saying?
The fish hut.
It's so far. Where's the fish hut? I hope the new signings for the Raptors bear fruit in the new season. Have a good day, everyone. Trent in Norway. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying this is going to be the face-off segment, but it could be. We got about 3 minutes here.
Ring the bell.
Well, I'm not sure it's going to be face-off. You can put up the logo anyways because we owe those guys. But I think it sucks for Canada and Canadian baseball fans, basketball fans, just with the Raptors going to Tampa regardless, because there are some saying they'll never come back, and I'm not sure I believe that. But just what makes you think a whole lot of things are going to change in this country in time for the Raptors to even come back and finish the season next year? Like, it just, these things seem so far off. We've been waiting 9 months for a switch to get flipped. Oh, let's go back to normal. And it just seems like we're so far away from that even happening.
Yeah, it seems so far, but yet I sit back and think it's possible if you put in the work for them to play in Canada. Again, the whole COVID thing, everything I've understood, it's all about control, right? When you're in the bubble, they control the environment in the NHL, where you went to your hotel, testing every time you come in. It was control. You get outside, there's no unknowns, right? So can they get that control coming to Canada, where you have a chartered flight in, right to the official bus, to the stadium, it's all controlled, you know, no interactions outside, no overnights in Toronto? You'd think it'd be possible, but clearly there's still a step missing. I would hate to see them go to Tampa and, you know, just even the beautiful climate. And if the Tampa fans latch onto the Raptors, then all of a sudden it's just, not that they're going to move to Tampa permanently, but it'll be in the back of your mind. Here's a market that actually loves the team.
Exactly.
It's a massive focus group for the owners and MLSE who might want to sell and cash in on the Raptors at their peak. Buy low, sell high. The Raptors have never been bigger than they are right now. Right? Riding the wave of the championship. So they're worth a lot of money.
And you could go to Tampa Bay and make it a real sports weekend by going to watch the Buccaneers and go to Carol Baskin's Big Cat Rescue. By the way, a couple weeks ago, Dateline did a story on Carol Baskin, and it was very inconclusive whether or not she killed her husband and fed him to the Tigers. This was Dateline, okay? Not some Rudy Poo show. Like, there was some conjecture there over whether or not this lady we're interviewing actually killed her husband 25 years ago and fed him to the Tigers.
I feel like the only way to solve it, we need Maury Povich to do the lie detector test and come up with the envelope.
I know.
He would figure it out.
Armando Moreno says, I actually have seen Mexican CFL global player Genaro Alfonsen around here, so I'm not the only Mexican watching. Genaro has written into this show from time to time and watched it too. Poll question. The RP Show bunker is situated in A, the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL, the heartland of the CFL, or the sweatpants capital. Leading the way, heartland of the CFL with 57%. We'll keep the party going over into hour two. Sportsnet's Jamie Campbell will be joining us. Thank you to Rod Black of TSN for joining us in hour one. We'll see you on Game Plus in a few moments' time. Woo, that's sexy.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.